Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nainar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Crashed, How a Decade of Financial Crises Changed the World by historian Adam Tooze, is a big, panoramic account of the shockwaves that followed the 2008 global financial crisis and reshaped politics, policy, and power. Rather than treating the crash as a brief market accident with a clean recovery, Tooze traces a long chain of emergencies across the United States, Europe, and the wider world. He explains how decisions made in central banks, finance ministries, and international institutions created winners and losers, and how those outcomes fed public anger, political polarization, and new geopolitical tensions. The book emphasizes connections, Wall Street and the Eurozone, banking systems and sovereign debt, bailouts and democracy, and the link between global dollar finance and national sovereignty. Written for readers who want more than slogans about greed or austerity, it offers a detailed narrative of how crisis management worked in practice, why it was so controversial, and how its after effects still influence debates about inequality, globalization, and state power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 2008 shock and the central role of the dollar system. A key theme of the book is that the 2008 crisis was not only an American housing and banking story, but also a global event organized around dollar funding and U.S. Tooze highlights how banks and investors outside the United States relied heavily on short-term dollar borrowing to finance long-term assets, creating vulnerability when confidence evaporated. When interbank lending froze and wholesale funding disappeared, the problem quickly became international. Non-US institutions needed dollars they could not easily obtain. This helps explain why US crisis management mattered far beyond US borders. The Federal Reserve, operating through emergency facilities and swap lines with foreign central banks, became an essential global stabilizer, even though it had no formal global mandate. The result was a crisis response that looked national in political rhetoric but functioned transnationally in practice. This framing shifts attention from morality tales about individual bankers to systemic dependencies embedded in modern finance. It also clarifies why the United States retained extraordinary leverage after the crash. Control over dollar liquidity became a tool of stabilization, but also a source of political resentment and strategic anxiety for other countries. Secondly, Europe, from banking turmoil to sovereign debt and institutional strain, Tooze devotes major attention to Europe, arguing that the Eurozone crisis was not a separate episode, but an extension of the same financial earthquake. European banks were deeply entangled with US mortgage-related assets and depended on dollar funding, making them vulnerable early. As losses mounted, governments stepped in to support banks, which shifted risk onto public balance sheets. In countries already facing weak growth and structural imbalances, bank rescues and recession pressures combined into a sovereign debt panic. The book examines how the Eurozone architecture limited rapid collective action. Member states shared a currency but lacked a fully unified fiscal authority and banking backstop. Crisis management therefore turned into difficult bargaining among national governments, the European Central Bank, and institutions like the IMF. Tooze underscores how the politics of conditionality and austerity shaped outcomes in Greece and beyond, while also affecting creditor countries and the legitimacy of European integration itself. By treating the Eurozone as a political project under financial stress, the narrative connects technical debates about bond spreads and bank capital to broader questions of democracy, solidarity, and sovereignty. The crisis becomes a story about what the European project could and could not do when pushed to the edge. Thirdly, crisis management, bailouts, legitimacy, and the limits of technocracy. Another major topic is how governments and central banks responded under extreme time pressure, and why those choices produced lasting political consequences. Tooze explores the logic of emergency interventions, stabilizing systemically important institutions, restoring liquidity, and preventing a collapse of credit and trade. He also shows why these moves were perceived as favoritism toward finance. The public could see trillions mobilized for banks while households faced unemployment, foreclosures, and strained public services. This gap between technical necessity and democratic legitimacy became a defining feature of the post-crash decade. Tooze pays attention to the institutional actors who carried the response, including central bankers, treasury officials, and international bodies, emphasizing how power concentrated in relatively insulated agencies. That concentration allowed speed and coordination, but it also fueled suspicion that unelected experts were overriding voters. The book connects this legitimacy crisis to the rise of populist movements and to the hardening of political divides in multiple countries. It also illuminates the dilemma policymakers faced, letting large institutions fail risked catastrophic contagion, but rescuing them without visible accountability risked delegitimizing democratic governance. The story is less about simple corruption and more about the structural tensions of governing a highly financialized economy. Fourthly, inequality, social conflict, and the political aftershocks, Tooze links the economic fallout of the crash to a decade of intensified social conflict. Even where headline indicators recovered, many communities experienced slow wage growth, insecure work, and reduced expectations about the future. Asset prices often rebounded faster than labor markets, meaning that those who owned financial assets benefited sooner than those reliant on wages. This uneven recovery interacted with pre-existing grievances about globalization, immigration, and cultural change, creating fertile ground for political entrepreneurs. The book frames the 2010s as a period in which crisis politics became normal, elections and referenda were fought over austerity, bailouts, and national control, while public trust in institutions weakened. Tooze explores how governments tried to manage both economic stabilization and political anger, sometimes by doubling down on fiscal restraint, sometimes by experimenting with monetary activism, and sometimes by shifting blame onto external actors. The point is not that finance alone caused every political rupture, but that the crisis rearranged the constraints within which politics operated. It narrowed room for compromise, amplified distributional fights, and helped turn economic policy into identity-laden conflict. In this account, the crash is a major hinge that helps explain why politics in many democracies became more volatile and more confrontational. Lastly, geopolitics after the crash, power, dependence, and new fault lines, the book also treats the post-2008 world as a geopolitical landscape shaped by financial dependence and crisis responses. Tooze shows how stabilization relied on cross-border cooperation, yet also exposed asymmetric power. Because dollar liquidity and U.S. financial markets remained central, the United States held a unique position in both preventing collapse and setting the terms of recovery. At the same time, the crisis damaged confidence in Western economic stewardship and opened space for renewed strategic competition. Europe's internal battles weakened its external influence, while emerging economies had to navigate capital flow volatility and shifting global demand. The narrative emphasizes that financial crises do not stay confined to markets. They influence defense priorities, alliance politics, and national strategies for resilience. Tooze also highlights how the tools used in crisis management, such as regulatory pressure, sanctions, and control over payment channels, can blur the line between economic governance and statecraft. The result is a world where finance is both infrastructure and leverage. By connecting central bank actions to international order, the book encourages readers to see global politics not just as diplomacy and security, but as a struggle over monetary and financial architecture. The decade after 2008 becomes a period in which economic fragility and political rivalry increasingly reinforced one another. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand the 2008 crash and its aftermath as a connected global story rather than a narrow tale of US mortgages or European austerity. It is valuable for students of economics and history, policy professionals, journalists, and general readers who follow politics and wonder why the 2010s felt like a prolonged emergency. The main benefit is clarity. By tracing how dollar funding, banking exposure, and institutional design interacted, the book helps readers see why certain decisions were made, why they were controversial, and how they shaped later events from Eurozone turmoil to rising populism. It can change a reader's life by improving decision-making and civic understanding, making it easier to evaluate claims about bailouts, central banks, debt, and globalization in today's debates. Compared with many crisis books that focus on a single country or simplify the story into villains and heroes, Tooze offers a wide-angle narrative that links financial mechanics to political legitimacy and geopolitics. That combination of detail and scope makes it worth buying for anyone who wants a durable framework for understanding the world that emerged from a decade of shocks. If you would like to support Adam Tooze, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.